You may take your seats. I appreciate the good preaching tonight. I'm grateful for every missionary, pastor, evangelist, those who are serving God in the sphere that He called you to, how important that is. I got saved June 14th, 1960. And so that's been over 64 years ago. Thought I'd report to you it's holding real good. I'm not climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I'm not singing, if anybody makes it, oh Lord, surely I will. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. I'm thankful for the goodness and the mercy of our Lord. I'm going to be reading tonight from the 21st chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21. I want to remind us of this. Life is short. The end is near. The fields are white. The laborers are few. The Savior is worthy. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. So a good mission question that we could entertain in these days would be that question that Saul of Tarsus made to the Lord when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so could I say that? That includes a matter of my monetary means, a matter of giving, but it includes my life. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm grateful that God has a plan for our life. And as we yield to Him, He accomplishes His purpose through our life. And so our purpose is to glorify the Lord Jesus. Matthew 21, verse number 28. The Bible said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether them twain did the will of the Father, they say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go unto the kingdom of God before you. Here's the thought I want to share tonight is, what did Christ have to say about the Father's will versus my will? And so could I say, when you got born physically, God gave you a free will. We are not free will Baptists, but we are Baptists with free wills. Nobody's going to heaven that doesn't want to go. And no one ever gets saved unless they want to be saved. And so God respects your free will. And so in John 12 and 26, I believe he said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And that's a qualifying word, just a little two-letter word, if. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. That's another message within itself. But I want to preach tonight on this, the matter of what did Christ have to say about the Father's will versus my will. Would you pray with us? Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you for these servants of the Lord that we've heard tonight. We're grateful for the word of God. We're thankful for the passion of their soul, matter of desire to see others come to know Christ, whom to know right is life eternal. I do pray that you'd continue to bless them and fill them with your power and use them mightily for your glory. Pray that you'd rebuke the enemy and all the adversaries of hell. And may you get maximum glory in what's said and done tonight. Thank you for this good church. Thank you for the mission emphasis through the years and the souls that's been saved and the churches that's been planted and the people have been reached with the gospel. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd enlarge our vision and, Lord, that you'd give to us the direction that we need tonight. And may we consider what you want us to do, not only with the monies you entrust us with, but with the very life that you've given us. Have your willing way tonight. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen and amen. Ephesians 5:17 said, "And be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I found this, Brother Pastor. I found that a lot of my preacher friends know about more about what God's will is for my life than I do. And so I said, that's a strange thing. God had to come right by my house to get their house. Wonder why he didn't tell me. I'm telling you, God wants you to know his will in order to do it. Now, he's not just giving out information. He said, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Paul said it this way in the book of Romans 12. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that. Do you? I believe that God has a perfect will for my life. And I want to say to you tonight, not bragging anything about me, but I'm grateful to say tonight, I believe with certainty that I am in God's will tonight. Where I stand, I'm in God's will. And so I'm reminded of this, John 7:17, he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And in the Acts chapter 20, verse 14, Ananias speaking to Saul of Tarsus after his conversion, he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will, see the just one, hear his voice, and be his witness. And by the way, it always comes in that order. And so I'm saying, the Bible tells us this, and it's so familiar, but we take it for granted sometimes. The Bible said the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Be good, fire Calvinist friends, read the Bible. I'm saying to you, I don't believe that Jesus Christ died for elect few or select few. Well, Dr. Tom Malone used to say, dear God, I pray you save all the elect and then elect some more. Could I say to you, Jesus is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what you do with what God's outlined for your life depends upon whether the message gets to others. And so, Lord, I ought to be saying, Lord, if I'm not willing, then I'm willing to be made willing. And so, but what thank ye, he said, what thank ye, a certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. I'm going to say to you, that'd be a good altar call there, to repent and go. And so the Bible, the will of the Father is disclosed. God's not trying to, he's not trying to hide his will. He wants you to know his will. Now, I believe this. I believe that God makes plain his will for our life. The will of the Father is disclosed for both sons. And by the way, you'll be identified with one of these boys before we get through tonight. The fact God's will is parental. That is, he said that he speaks to his son. That's a personal relationship. I'm glad that I'm his son. He's my heavenly Father. Don't get excited about it. Just save forever. Just save forever by the good grace of God. Kept by the power of God. And he has something for me to do. Some say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? What do you want me to do? And so God is interested. So it's parental. We are sons of God, saints of God, and to be servants of God. That is the will of God. And so it's personal. God's will is personal. He said, son, so God speaks to his children individually. He speaks to us individually. And it's always according to the word of God. So we got folks today that handle the word of God. and they preach about the Word of God, and then we have some that preach the Word of God. And how important it is that we preach the Word of God. Not my opinion, not your opinion, but what thus saith God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a personal matter. And by the way, we could have revival in this meeting if each one of us came to the place where we resigned to saying, dear Lord, what do you want me to do? And by the way, there's some folk who are not doing anything. And so we certainly should be doing something. And so it's a matter of a person. God speaks to his children individually. He cares for each one of his own. And he manifests that care in guidance and in direction. The passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has just been quoted. We're to trust in the Lord. But the Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I'm grateful not only the steps are ordered by the Lord, but the stops are ordered by the Lord. And God is concerned about my path. And so the will of God is disclosed, it's parental, it's personal, but it is plain. We also learn from the command of the Father to his sons that God's will is plain. He said this, go work. That's a dirty word to a lot of folk today. He said, go work. What would be simpler or clearer than these words of action? Going and working. And by the way, if you're going to serve the Lord, it'll cost you. It's a matter of working. Going and working involves hardship. It involves toil. It involves separation. It involves forfeiting my rights. It involves plans, forfeiting my plans, my desires. When Elisha was called of God, he slew the oxen, burnt the plow. We've got too many that's still entertaining the plow. He said, son, go work today. I want to say the will of God was particular. It was a particular. He said, son, go work in my vineyard. There's a great amount of Christians today that they're very involved in activity, feverishly involved, fanatically involved, and fruitless involved. It's this, not in the least way related to the kingdom of God. God has a place. God has a place for each one of his children in God's church. So God didn't save you and leave you here just to occupy a certain place. But God does have a certain place for you. And if you're in your place and I'm in my place and God is glorified, we are blessed and others benefit. Doing what God said do. God has a place for each one of his children. And so we must understand that there is work for each son to do. Labor for each believer to undertake. And for each disciple to assume. So what did Christ have to say about the Father's will versus my will? It's a present will. He said, son, go work. Here's the word, today. Not next week. Not when I retire. But he said, my son, go work today in my vineyard. There's too many Christians that are projecting the will of God into the future and practically ignoring the fact that the Father is calling upon each one of his children to be engaged right now. So what are you doing today in the will of God that brings glory to him? Lord, what would thou have me to do? He speaks to one son, and that son said, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to do that. But then he repented. Thank God for repentance. Change of mind, change of heart, change of direction. I'm saying thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And he left me here to be a part of his family and to get the gospel to every creature. Two commands the Lord left us with. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I was sitting in a college auditorium and I heard a speaker preaching on missions. and God the Holy Spirit burned in my heart that the Great Commission is a personal matter to me. I'm responsible to God to get the gospel to every creature. Amen. I can't go to all around the world, but I tell you what I can do. I can do the Father's will for my life. And listen, God doesn't send everybody across the water, but God will send you across the street. So everybody's still all right? I'm saying, so what are you doing now for your Father? What are you doing right now for your Father? Are you presently engaged in His work? Are you actively at work for the Lord? Some think that maybe sometime, somewhere, later on down the road, they'll turn into being a laborer for God's vineyard. It's better to begin now. I don't know about you, but I have a little problem, this crowd that say they want to do God's will and they want to pick and choose. Right. If it fits there, no. It's not pick and choose. It's a matter of submitting to the will of my Heavenly Father. It is the will of God for me to be fruitful. It is the will of God for me to be faithful. And that same God who tells us this, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Well, how does he honor? Well, he honors us by revealing, he's faithful to reveal his will to us. And he's faithful to reveal his word to us. And he's faithful to send us into the field. And he gives us fruit that will remain. He's faithful to give recognition for those who faithfully serve him. He said, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And so the Father's will was disclosed. God has a will for your life in this meeting. And so somebody said, if no one responds, that really tears me up on the inside. I heard Fred Brown say years ago, when you preach and it bothers you because no one responded outwardly, it's a real indication that the Spirit of God was not in charge anyway. That doesn't sound too appealing to the flesh. But I'm saying we preach for results. We want to see results. But ladies and gentlemen, whether they respond or not, we're to still be faithful to the call of God in our life. God called us. He left us here for a purpose. So the Father's will was disclosed. But the Father's will was despised. But what a tragedy when the Father spoke to his second son, and the son said, I'll go. And he went not. I'll go, and he went not. He appeared honest. He appeared to be sincere in acceptance of the Father's will. But the next word points to the true attitude of his heart. And he went not. I wonder, have you received the will of God? You've heard the will of God. God's emphasized his will for your life. And you said, I'll go. But you've allowed other things to hinder you from doing what you said you'd do. In the book of Ecclesiastes 5:4, he said, it's better not to vow a vow than to vow a vow and not keep it. How important it is that we are yielded, Lord. It's this, the tragedy of those who respond to the call yet are disobedient. Now, wait a minute. They respond to the call, but they're disobedient. It's to recognize this. So what were they involved in? If they despise the Father's will, did not engage in the Father's work, then what did they do? Well, what did he do? That's a valid question. It might have been nothing. It could have been he just did nothing. Right. And it could have been, well, it was too hot. And it's too hot to sweat and toil and pruning vines. And so just do nothing. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's not an easy road that we're traveling to heaven, but it'd be worth it all when we see Christ. And so it's recognize this. What could have been more enjoyable than just sitting under the shade tree and taking it easy? Proverbs said, "The son that sleepeth in harvest bringeth his father's shame." And so you fail to see the necessity of the hour. Time's short. I'm telling you, if we're going to, and I'm not real certain that we're getting as much done as we could get done about getting the gospel to others. I appreciate those ministries that print the Bible and send Bibles to the mission field, and they're consistent, and year after year they're printing thousands of Bibles and Bible material to get out. I'm grateful, but listen, there's no substitute for the Word of God, but there's somebody got to tell the message. When Philip was directed by the Spirit of God to go down into Gaza, he met that Ethiopian eunuch who'd been up to Jerusalem, the Bible said, for to worship. Right. He went to the right building, went with the right purpose, reading the right book.
Yep.
But Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" As a preacher, as a servant of the Lord, we are not to usurp authority over the Holy Spirit. But we are to be available to be a mouthpiece to point others to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so I see this. Time short. Harvest was perishing in the field. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. It'd be hard to determine how many professed believers that want to work for the Lord that are just doing nothing. They're doing nothing. I've heard them say this, you know, well, let that younger crowd do it. We've served our time. They think a matter of serving God is like working on the chain gang. No. As long as you're breathing in or breathing out, God's got something for you to do. And so I'm saying, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I want to do it. It's not just for information, but I want to do what God wants me to do. And so I want to keep my hand on the gospel plow. I want to keep my eyes on the goal. Singing. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. My younger brother, which doesn't know the Lord, he said, "When are you going to stop running up and down the road and start enjoying life and spending time with your grandkids and just enjoying life?" I said, "Son, you don't understand. I'm not doing what I have to do. I'm doing what I want to do."
Amen.
Praise God. I'm glad that God put the want to in my heart. And it's still burning tonight. I'm saying I'm grateful that it's God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
Yes,
so God starts the fire and God fans the flame and God creates the hunger and God satisfies the hunger and God will use you and God will use me if we submit to His will.
Amen.
We think of mission meetings and folks... Brother Roloff used to say, when you begin to deal with money in the average fundamental independent temperamental Baptist church, folks get cirrhosis of the giver. It's that nerve that runs down around the billfold. But I'm saying to you, you can't preach missions without the matter of making that step. You got to have finances to go. But who'll go? Who's going to go? Isaiah, after he met with the Lord, there was a spiritual awakening in his life. He had a new appreciation for the Lord, a new reverence for the Lord, and he had a willingness to do the Father's will. The Lord said, "Whom shall I send, and who'll go for me?" Isaiah said, "Hey, here am I, send me." The average fundamental temperamental Baptist today said, "Here am I, Lord, would you send somebody else? Send the preacher, send the missionary." No. We all have an obligation. That is the will of God to get the gospel to every creature. So how are we doing? It's a matter of, he said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." It's not your work, it's my work. And one son said, I'll not go. But then he repented. And the second son said, "I will go." And he went not. He may have engaged in some work of his own. The Bible said no man can serve two masters. You either serving the Lord. You can't serve God with one foot in the world and one foot in church. And somebody, I'll recognize this. They might have been the cause of his inactivity at his Father's vineyard. Our Heavenly Father's vineyard is neglected in many areas simply because his sons and daughters have become involved in the work of their own. Yeah. Busy, involved, right. But on their own. Yeah. Disobedient to the heavenly calling. They went to work in some field where they would pursue their own interests.
Right.
No, it's not my will, it's his will.
Right.
It's not what I want, it's what he wants. But God, listen, God deals in my heart and I want what he wants.
Amen.
And so he may have worked for someone else. He could have hired out to the owner of some other vineyard and used his strength and energy to work for another master. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is worthy of our praise, our honor, and our glory, and our involvement. Then I want you to notice the last little thought. They're laboring at a job that lies outside the sphere of God's appointment for them. If God has commanded you to some specific work, do not despise his will, but seek to do his will.
Amen.
With all your heart.
Amen.
If I'm not willing, Lord, I'm willing to be made willing.
Yeah.
And so the Father's will was done, but it was done late. I want to ask the question, how many of you suppose perished during that time that they waited?
Yeah.
You see, the first son who repented and did the Father's will, he did it after first refusing to do it.
Right.
Jonah, when he said, I will not, that cold and callous heart, why did he respond in such a way? Perhaps he had feelings concerning his father. Perhaps he had felt that he was asking too much of him. The son to work in the vineyard. Perhaps he did not give up what he was doing at that time. Maybe he just was lazy. We do not know specifically why he responded the way he did. But we do know that after he said no to the Father's will, he did the Father's will after repenting. He repented and went. I want to say to you, church, we need to repent and go.
Amen.
We're to be busy in our Father's vineyard. I'm saying he's provided, listen, as that son, that first son, when he recognized, he thought to himself, what a rich, wretched man I've been. How despicable of me to treat my father this way. He's provided for me since birth. He's lavished his care upon me. He's supplied my every need. I've been secure in his love and care. How can I respond the way I have?
Amen.
How can I refuse to do his bidding?
Amen.
How can I rebel against his authority? I'm saying this. Why? He's my father and I'm his son. I should show my love for him by obeying his commands.
Amen.
If any man love me, he's keep my commandments. And as this is reflected and he reflects on that, he repents. His heart was melted. He was moved to action. He went into the vineyard, worked in his father's service. No longer is there an argument. It's just action.
Amen.
He's saying, I will serve thee because I love thee.
Amen.
Thou hast given life to me.
Amen.
Gone was a spirit of rebellion. In his heart was a spirit of obedience, the spirit of submission. the matter of giving Christ all. He's determined to demonstrate his love for the Father. He went with enthusiasm and eagerness to do his best. Would to God that that kind of repentance would come to the hearts of God's people.
Amen.
Who have resisted the Father's will. I do believe this. I believe that there's more that's been called of God than has responded.
Yes, sir.
There's some are in pulpits today that God never called.
Sure.
God still has qualifications for his men. And God has not changed that. I said to Pastor, I've preached in the church for 25 years and been there through three or four different pastors. And this year, so disappointed for the man of God, the pastor of the church, put two men in the pulpit was not qualified biblically. And could I say, it's not about something personal. It is personal with me because I'm going to answer to God. So I don't want to endorse or embrace or condone anything that God condemns. I believe there's things that men who have disqualified themselves, there's things they can do. But the pulpit is not. Amen. Everybody all right? And so... As he finishes his task, he's received by the loving arms of his Father. And I believe he said, well done.
Amen.
I'd like to be able to say, when I stand before the Lord and my life comes in review, I'd like to be able to hear the Lord say, your life was just like I planned it. But it can't be if I have a rebellious heart or attitude toward the will of our God. And so I want to leave with you this thought. I hope you'll pray about it. And in these meetings that you'll be attentive to the Lord and that you'll purpose in your heart saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?
Amen.
And I believe the Lord would say, son, go work today in my vineyard.
Yeah.
Used to sing that song, we'll work till Jesus comes.
Amen.
Don't hear it much anymore. It's a thing of the past.
Yes, sir.
But it's a great song.
Yes,
we'll work till Jesus comes. May God help us to be faithful to his call in our life and be obedient servants of the Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Let's stand.
Father, I thank you for your blessings today.
Yes.
Our lives. Thank you, Lord, for saving us.